Thank you, Lorraine. Well, if you'd like to keep your Bible open at Proverbs chapter 10, or find one if you haven't got one there, that would be really helpful. Tunji already mentioned the credit crunch, and I'm sure that, in fact, we all are aware of the credit crunch, and some of us may be struggling with financial concerns and worries. And the verse that Tunji pointed to at the beginning, from verse 16 of chapter 10, the wages of the righteous bring them life, kind of picks up the theme of our wages. But we're not necessarily looking at financial wages this morning, okay? So we won't be focusing on the credit crunch or any other financial matters, but we'll be looking at wealth a bit later on in this series in Proverbs, because there's a lot in Proverbs about finances and wealth. But let's pray as we come to God and consider this text today. Father, we thank you for the life that you give us. Thank you for the promise of eternal life. Thank you the reality of spiritual life found in you. And I pray you'd open our hearts and minds to you today. Amen. Well, Jesus spoke a lot about life, and it's a common theme throughout the Bible, the Old and the New, and be looking at that as we go through this talk this morning. One of the most famous verses that he spoke about life was this one: I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, in John chapter 10, verse 10. And when we talk about life, we're not simply talking about the ability to breathe, as I hope all of us here are doing right now. When Andrea wakes up in the morning and looks at the person next to her, that's my wife, in bed, she probably wouldn't use the word life to describe what she can see. You know, it takes several hours for me in the morning to kind of get going. And there's various research done. It takes some people all day to kind of get going and have a kind of quality of life and to really enter into the life of the day. And when the Bible talks about life, it's not simply talking about breathing, being alive, but it's talking about a quality and a quantity of life, life in all its fullness. And that's what Jesus said he came to give people, not just breath, but a good quality of life. And the Message version of this verse that's up there says this: the wage of a good person is exuberant life. An evil person ends up with nothing but sin. And the Hebrew word for life is chaim, and it means living, alive, vigorous, fresh, raw, and it can be used to describe running water. It's that kind of life that flows, that bubbles up within. That's the kind of life that Proverbs is talking about and that Jesus Christ offers to each one of us. So be encouraged. You may not feel full of that life, but God offers that life to each one of us. There was an item in the news which caught my attention this week as I was reading through Proverbs. And I don't know if you came across this news item. It's about the Bendy Bus campaign, which is going to be coming and hitting the streets of London in the next few months. It's a campaign by the atheists and humanists in our world. And they're trying to promote disbelief in God, you could say. And I think it really spells the death of the Bendy Bus, don't you? Because not only is Bendy Bus going to be damaging for your physical health, but for your spiritual health as well. The complete slogan, you probably can't quite see it there, or you might see it underneath: there's probably no God, now stop worrying and get on with your life. That's what the atheists say. And there's a website, if you agree with that slogan and want to donate, not that I'm encouraging you to, but you can actually donate online to support this campaign. And there were some quite amusing comments by people that had donated. I had a quick look. One of them said, "Thank God for atheists." Another one said, God told me to donate. He thinks it's a great idea. And I guess there's a touch of humour in this campaign. But I felt it kind of connects with what we're talking about this morning on life and what's written in Proverbs. Perhaps it says something positive about our society where we can have this kind of free speech and free debate going on. And as Christians, let's not be too defensive or concerned when we see things like this coming up. But it's interesting, isn't it, if they change the name of God to Allah, they'd probably get in quite a lot of trouble. And definitely in some societies, there would be a lot of controversy about a statement like that. But we do have free speech in our country, which is a good thing. It also reveals something of our culture and society's view on certainties and absolutes. Even the atheists and the humanists are saying there's probably no God. You know, they can't say it absolutely, but there probably isn't a God. That's what they reckon. But it also kind of undermines one of the great themes in Proverbs, and this fact of ethical living and the need for guidance and guidelines in life. Because it's really kind of saying that if you're religious, then you're going to have a life full of worry and a difficult life. And really, we should just get rid of all those ethical guidelines and those standards and get rid of moral guidance and enjoy life. Well, I thought if we're going to enter the debate with our atheist friends, then we should look to the book of Proverbs for an alternative. And if we can just have the next slide up, maybe we should have one of the old Routemaster buses with this slogan on there, which says, "There's definitely a God, respect him and live life to the full." Because that's the kind of positive message that's in the Bible. It's not a negative that's cynical or undermining, but it's positive and it's encouraging us to live life God's way, to live our life by biblical standards, and we will have life to the full. We won't have a miserable life. We'll have, in fact, a very good quality of life. From the Bible's perspective, spirituality and ethics go together. And in our culture, we perhaps like to separate the two and have a kind of spiritual understanding or a faith experience. And then we just carry on and live life the way we want to and make up our own standards. But the Bible really integrates faith and lifestyle. And the book of Proverbs, you could say, is about some of these characteristics: integrity, authenticity, credibility, and transparency. And they're words which are very popular in our culture. They're used in the media. We like to promote those things, those qualities, in our workplaces and in our relationships. And they actually are biblical values, you could say. They're nothing new. And the root of living a life that's got integrity and authenticity and credibility, according to Proverbs, the root of such a life can be found in God and experiencing God and having faith in God. Nobody wants a hypocrite who just spouts on about religious values and teaching but doesn't live it. And the book of Proverbs is encouraging us not to be hypocritical, but to be authentic believers in God, authentic Christians who know how to live the details of our lives. And we're going to be coming on to look at some of the practical issues of how we use words, how we use our finances, what we think about justice and love and relationships. They're all covered in Proverbs. And the whole purpose for studying a book like Proverbs is so we can have life in all its fullness, not just the words in our songs and our prayers, but actually the lifestyle to match up with what we say we believe as Christians. And the book of Proverbs identifies two kind of characters, and there's the righteous and the wicked. And if you look at chapter 10 in Proverbs, you can see how it describes these two types of people. And those terms we find perhaps difficult, and it's not that we want to label people, but the book of Proverbs is trying to help us understand that there are choices in life and there are consequences to the choice we make. And there's a kind of polarization going on as a literary device in this book of Proverbs. Take a look at the righteous. Verse 16, "The wages of the righteous bring them life." Verse 20, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The lips of the righteous nourish many, verse 21. Verse 24. What the righteous desire will be granted. You may say, well, that sounds a bit unfair. But the reason is because what the righteous desire are those things that are good, those things that are worth having, those things that God wants to grant to his people. Then verse 25. The righteous stand firm forever. It's a great promise to those who are righteous. There'll be a permanence and stability and strength about their life. Verse 28. The prospect of the righteous is joy. And verse 30, the righteous will never be uprooted. These are all characteristics of the quality of life God wants for human beings to enjoy. He wants us to be righteous, to have this great quality of life, this great confidence, joy, the ability to nourish others, the confidence of not ever being uprooted. This is the inheritance for the righteous. And then there's the wicked. Okay, the wicked, their income brings them punishment. Their words are of little value. They will be overtaken by dread. I thought that's probably the worst thing in this description of the wicked. You know, the things that you fear will overtake you, will actually happen. That's a horrible thought, isn't it? Verse 25, when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Your hopes will come to nothing. You will lose your lands. These are all the consequences of not following God. It's challenging to see those two kind of characters described. And it goes against perhaps the grain of our culture. But the idea is not to instill a negative disposition to God, but to be encouraged to come to God and ask for his righteousness, ask for his life, ask for his presence. And as I was reflecting on this chapter and the whole book of Proverbs, it made me wonder, ask this question, what do we think of rules? How do we respond? How do we feel when we read these kind of guidelines that we find in Proverbs? And it reminded me of when I first went to visit a communist country 13 years ago and visited an orphanage. And it was a very negative environment. The children were underdeveloped for their age. They had a lack of confidence. They had less skills than children in Western culture. And in this country that I'd experienced and I'd got to know of a similar age. They were underdeveloped physically, and they were shy and lacking in all sorts of things because the imposition of rules was too harsh, too overbearing. At the time, I was lodging with a family who had a toddler. This was up in Sheffield. And this young toddler was called Ed. He was three, and he was full of life and a picture, if you like, of this exuberant life, which I mentioned earlier. And this Ed was a child with boundaries, with love and rules and guidance that weren't crushing, but actually led to life, whereas out in this communist-run orphanage, the rules and boundaries were so firmly in place, so rigid, with no love behind them, that they'd hampered the development of the children. Sometimes we can be anti-rules, but rules in a good way, guidance and laws that are positive and that have love, the love of God at the heart of them, can bring life, can enable us to flourish and experience life to the full. I think as Christians we can often be criticized for holding on to traditional values and guidance for life, and we can be asked and encouraged to let go of those values and rethink the way we live our life. But the book of Proverbs encourages us to hold on to the faithful teaching of Scripture, the faithful teaching of God, a God who loves and cares for his people and wants his world to flourish. John Maxwell is a writer on leadership, And he talks about the challenge of coping with change in society and how we can cope with change. And he said, leaders in our world face two realities. One, that change happens faster than ever, and leaders must remain adaptable to change. We do have to respond to change. But then he says, secondly, we need timeless values more than ever, so that leaders can remain principle-driven. And what he's saying is that there's a temptation when everything's changing in the world around us to not only respond to the technology or the difference in media or whatever it might be, but as well as to change that, we change the way we live, the lifestyle, the values, the principles that we hold dear. And that can be a temptation not just for leaders, but it could be for parents, for church leaders, for employees, for those who care for others, for our relationships and family life. But God wants us to hold on to his timeless values, his timeless purposes, and yet let those purposes and principles guard and guide us and shape our lives. And that's what we discover in Proverbs chapter 10. As we read the book of Proverbs, I encourage you to take some time to go through it. There's a lot of good content. But let's remember that these guidance, these laws, these instructions on how to live have been issued by a God of grace and love to the people within his covenant. This book of Proverbs are written to a people, the Jewish people, who were called by God and set free from a life of slavery and given a new land, and that land was to be a place of blessing where they'd experience God's blessing and goodness and fullness of life. These laws aren't given by a harsh dictator, but by a loving God who longs for us to know fullness and freedom. There's some great connections with Proverbs and the life of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus. If we could have those verses up on the screen. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of wisdom. He is the righteous one. In the book of Romans, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God wants to give us righteousness. He wants to give us life through Jesus Christ. We may struggle to live a righteous life. We may not always live up to the mark when we read a book like Proverbs. But the good news of the new covenant is that we can receive righteousness through Jesus Christ. Proverbs 10:17 says, he who heeds instruction is on the path to life. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We may struggle to interpret and understand those Old Testament laws, but we look to Jesus. He says he is the way, he's the path to life, and he is the source of life. Jesus said, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. We need to focus on Jesus Christ. We need to come to him. He is the source and the fountain of life. And I just want to bring this talk to a close today by encouraging you to think, where do I need more of God's life? Where do I need to be refreshed, to be revived, and to have that gift of righteousness in my life? There may be an area of our working life where we're struggling to make decisions and choices about ethical practice or standards. It may be in the way we bring up our children that we're struggling with what moral and spiritual and ethical guidance to give our children or to have in our families. Maybe that as Christians we want to have a voice in society on different issues to do with relationships, family life. Well, let's come to Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's remember his teaching, and let's receive Jesus Christ into our life. Jesus is the righteous one, and if we come to him, we receive his righteousness, and we also receive his presence and power to live life to the full. Why don't you just take a moment to pray? Maybe you feel you need that spiritual life from God today. Maybe a situation you want to bring to him where you need wisdom and guidance. Perhaps you've lost sight of a God of compassion and love, and you want to have a fresh vision of that today. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to live life your way. And we ask that you would refresh us with a knowledge of your goodness and a confidence in your love as we live our lives today. Amen. If you'd like to stand, we're just going to sing as we stay like in an attitude of prayerfulness and response to God, the song, Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me. We come to a God who is life-giving, who is alive, and who is with us. And we're just going to sing it unaccompanied, and let's just sing it as a prayer and invite God's Spirit to come and fill us afresh. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God.